Welcome to another episode of the AlbumReview.net podcast. I'm Greg Potters. Thanks to all you listeners out there for your interaction and feedback. Your feedback is much appreciated, and it helps me to always improve. On today's episode, I'm reviewing another live album. This one is a deep issue from the Seattle band Alice in Chains. If you've never heard of it before, this one is titled MTV Unplugged. The sound quality of this one is gonna knock you silly. Silly!
Hello. After watching this video, you will find out what the word silly means. Lacking in intelligence. Showing a lack of good sense, wisdom, or forethought. A state in which a group of people is continuously making silly jokes that can nevertheless lead to laughing fits as a reaction. Under the right circumstances, the state can maintain itself or be induced in others contagiously. The use of weed promotes a state in some individuals, but it can also be induced by a joke or a reference to a funny event. Marked by lack of intellectual acuity or somewhat mentally limited. Lacking seriousness, given to frivolity, a dizzy blonde, light-headed teenagers, silly giggles.
Remember, you can read my reviews and listen to any of my podcast episodes by going to albumreview.net. These episodes can also be heard wherever podcasts are available. Please follow my podcast on your preferred platform so you can get regular updates on new episodes. Also, if you guys would be so kind as to pop a quick review or rate the podcast, that helps move the needle and get the word out there. In addition to listening, you can read over 40 written reviews at albumreview.net and pick up some merchandise from your favorite bands, such as trucker hats, t-shirts, several of your favorite albums, home sound systems, and as I mentioned before, the bookstore. So you want to learn more about your favorite musician or band that you can't find on the internet? Well, go to albumreview.net and click the store tab where you can grab a copy of different biographies and autobiographies from artists such as Guns N' Roses, Tom Petty, Rush, Pink Floyd, Aerosmith, Faith No More. You can get the story of Spotify there called the Spotify Play. You can also get my favorite book of all time, The 4-Hour Workweek by Timothy Ferris. At the bookstore, you'll have access to titles written by authors that I've also had on the podcast myself, such as the story of Ivan Bodley, titled Am I Famous Yet? Memoir of a Working Class Rock Star. Ivan was on episode 20 of the podcast. I interviewed Kyle Hegarty on a previous episode, and Kyle's book, The Accidental Business Nomad, is available in the store. In his book, Kyle teaches you how to work successfully across different business cultures, explaining what is socially and professionally acceptable in some cultures and what is not in others. I also have Brian O'Connor's two books, Time Decorated and For the Record. I've got it all there, so go check it out, the bookstore at albumreview.net. Now, here is my album review of Alice in Chains' 1996 live recording at the Majestic Theater in Brooklyn, New York, Unplugged. I feel very passionate about this album because not many people I know talk about it. To give you all some context first, let me start with a story. As I was strolling through the streets of Seattle, Washington, just this past February, my first visit ever to the city overlooking Puget Sound, I was just overcome with so many emotions. I couldn't help but smile the entire trip because it was proof. It was the nail in the coffin to my argument that I am indeed still a kid. I'll never forget the first few months I heard the incredible music that came out of this city in the late 1980s and early 1990s. It all still holds up today. It is undeniable. In fact, with exception to the rock and roll of the late 60s and the 1970s, the 90s, I think, were really the greatest decade for music. Now, each block through Seattle that I walked down, I had the music in my head, for I was on a true pilgrimage to finally walk on the same ground as some of my heroes. Sounds to some maybe a bit childish, I don't know, I can be hard on myself sometimes, but although I had a little support from my music, I was never heavily encouraged to further pursue a life in music while growing up. I always got that eye roll and that, I pray he grows out of this look. I'm serious. It wasn't slight concern. My parents were deeply concerned with my obsession for rock and heavy metal. And it just fueled my passion more. I can say that this passion is stronger today at 45, and it grows with each day. It was just so raw, the music, just so adoring. You can hear it just digging into your soul. I want to explore my addiction and obsession with the past. As I've grown this podcast, I've been lucky to talk to so many musicians and music fans across the world, and I've found other people like me who are passionate and love something, whether it's music, art, sports, or design. We've all had a common goal. We want to share our passion, and we want to learn more about what we don't know, quite frankly. So in my other life, when I'm not writing new material for this project, I partner and consult with countless software engineers, helping them to find work. And many of these people are either entering the software development world or looking to hone their skills, or they're just small business owners looking to advance their web development skills. So we all know that every business must have a website, right? And many people end up paying hundreds, sometimes thousands of dollars to hire someone to do it for them. I also intend to share ideas and resources with you guys on this podcast to help get your passions going. I know about this online school called Treehouse and wanted to tell you guys about it. You can get hands-on coding instruction right from the comfort of your own home. Treehouse, they offer courses in web design, web development, mobile development, and even game development. So I'll talk to a little bit more about this later, but if you guys want, you can get 50% off your first month if you go to teamtreehouse.com. Now, I'll give you the whole thing here. teamtreehouse.com/signup_code/podcorncourses, all one word. Again, that's teamtreehouse.com/signup_code/podcorncourses. I'll also put this link in my show notes and on the website. I just wanted to share that with you guys because I spent way too much time when I was starting this business worrying about getting my website up and running. So why not learn some coding skills and do it yourself, right? Now, Treehouse is a sponsor of mine, full disclosure, but I want to save you guys some money. Now that my website is up and running and has been for some time, I get to share many of my favorite albums with you guys. And today, I wanted to touch upon an incredibly underrated album that came out of Seattle in the 1990s. This album is from a band who has several more well-known popular albums. Therefore, I found it important to talk specifically about this one today. On April 10th, 1996, the members of Alice in Chains gathered at the Brooklyn Academy of Music's Majestic Theater in New York to perform and record live this small concert. It was recorded specifically for what was then a very popular MTV program, simply called Unplugged. Now, Unplugged was a groundbreaking television program and unique to MTV at the time. Just as it sounds, Unplugged offered consumers really an opportunity to hear and see more aggressive rock bands perform their songs that were originally caked in heavy distortion, but this time, on this program, really in more of a stripped-down, no-effects acoustic set. No tricks, no frills, no pedals to hide behind. This show always separated the men from the boys and the women from the little girls. Initially, Alice in Chains were reluctant to participate in MTV's acclaimed performance show. Due to lead singer Lane Staley's poor health, the band didn't tour in 1995 and much of 1996. Staley was unfortunately struggling with drug addiction. he'd been battling with heroin for years and wasn't really in good shape. But the band was able to put things together, rehearse a little, and get to New York to do this show on April 10th. And they would only play once more as a quartet before Lane's health deteriorated to the point where the band had to stop performing as their original lineup. Man, just to go back a sec, I can remember seeing Alice in Chains in concert. Based out of Seattle, they were lighting it up on the radio at the time. They were lighting it up on MTV and really anywhere that you could smell teenage angst. My concert experience lasted just one day back in 1993. It was the Lollapalooza Festival, and it was electric. I'm not just referring to the instruments. It was like being hit over the head with the butt of a machine gun, picked up, and then given the coolest feeling from a libation you could ever consume. So the band played during the day. The sun was beating. I was heavily dehydrated. I'd been standing on what used to be a field of grass, now dirt and sand, no pun intended, for about 4 hours, and at least by that point, it had been a long, long day. It was July 17th, 1993, at Quonset State Airport in North Kingstown, Rhode Island. A black curtain came up, and the band opened with Damn That River while performing behind a chain-link fence, something I had never seen before. Now, I can remember Lane, the lead singer, reaching out and grabbing the fence, holding on for dear life as he sung his lyrics. And even though he was likely high for that show, he sung like a true professional, belting out his words and harmonizing with lead guitarist Jerry Cantrell, whose voice is arguably just as good as Staley's, maybe even better. The show, it just seemed too short, though, and I can remember when it was over, just being really, really, really sad it ended. I was so jacked up on adrenaline, and I'll never forget that. For that same day at that same festival, I had also witnessed Rage Against the Machine, Tool, Fishbone, Dinosaur Jr., and Primus all perform on the same stage. Bam! Are you okay? Did you just pass out? The band would record and release one EP in 1994 and one studio album in 1995 before agreeing to perform the Unplugged concert event for MTV. It was eventually released on July 30th, 1996, and VHS and DVD versions would later be released. If you liked Alice in the 90s, but you forgot what the feeling or impact of their music had, just turn on track one, Nutshell.
Battle all alone. No
So during that listen, I had my eyes closed and I smiled. I also wiped a small forming tear from my eye. I really did. This is what music does to me. Although this song brings back so many memories, if I'd heard it for the first time right now, I'd be equally as blown away. Nutshell is a track off the band's 1994 EP Jar of Flies, which many remember entered the Billboard 200 chart at number one upon its release, something that had never happened to the band before. Lane Staley's voice. Just where do singers like that come from? And Mike Inez's bass, just so smooth. Oh, the sound of a fretless bass, man. The band also recruited Scott Olsen for this gig to play acoustic rhythm guitar, which I think really rounds out the sound and gives you that full surround sound kind of experience. But this song is just the warm-up. Track two, which is called Brother, makes me smile even more. Why? Because the run-of-the-mill Alice fan has never heard this one. They have probably heard Dirt, and maybe they purchased Facelift, but they've only listened to probably Man in the Box and then switched the cassette out. Brother is the opening track off the band's 1992 EP Sap, not on the radar of most Chains fans, and this live version they play is superior. So if you couldn't tell already by listening to the podcast for a couple years, I enjoy deep tracks. I enjoy them even more when I can pick people out of the crowd going as nuts as me while every other fan stands with a bored look on their face. Deep tracks are like the little gift the band gives out to the diehards, the fans that really dug deep into their catalog. These fans were turned on by their radio hit, but knew there was so much more to that album. All right, what did you say? You talking to me? What did you say? All right, what did you say? A hit you want? Well, a hit you will receive as track three, No Excuses, follows up Brother.
It's alright. There comes a
excuses, another strong number, don't get me wrong, leads the charge and gives the bulk of the small audience at the Majestic Theater a reason to cheer. Now they know a song, right? Like many of the songs on Jar of Flies, No Excuses did very well on the charts in 1994 when it was released. The band continues with such well-known tracks as Down in a Hole, Angry Chair, and Rooster, all ridiculously strong tracks off the band's 1992 album Dirt, which essentially turned into a rocket ship, taking Alice in Chains to the moon and back, bringing them from submissive notoriety to true celebrity status. And if you guys are liking this review, go back and check out my review on the album Dirt at albumreview.net. Hey there, guys. Quick break to talk to you about an online course you can benefit from. This is really exciting for me, for the albumreview.net podcast is sponsored by Treehouse. Are you ready to launch your new career in coding? Treehouse has one of the best and most affordable online classrooms for you. At Treehouse, we've rethought the learning process and built a proven system to get you the skills and knowledge you need to achieve your goals. When you're done with a course, you haven't just watched a video, you've learned, practiced, and absorbed a concept. Or choose to build a portfolio, create a network, and land your dream job with our bootcamp-style tech degree program. Land a dev job this year. Whatever your goal, we'll get you there. Get 50% off your first month as a podcast listener through our special discount link, teamtreehouse.com/signup_code/podcorncourses. Again, that's teamtreehouse.com/signup_code/podcorncourses. And I'll also put this link in the show notes. Skipping ahead, I want to bring the track Got Me Wrong to your attention, mainly because it's off their 1992 EP Sap, and it's not as well known by casual Alice fans. The version on Unplugged is equally as strong as the EP version, only with crowd cheers, which I think elevates any song. I don't care what you say. The band writes a lot of songs in minor chords. I mentioned this a bit in my review of Dirt. Minor chords just give these songs a darkness, a depth, a fullness that is hard for me to explain. Just listen to see what I mean.
Oh,
This song just bleeds dirt. That's the word that comes to mind when I hear it. Although it was not released on the album Dirt, I felt that that was a perfect word to describe their music. In contrast, the word sounds funny, like someone on the playground making fun of your favorite band. Like, yeah, that band sounds like Dirt. But for me, and many Chains fans, it's a word that perfectly describes their sound. It's dirty. Another example would be the song Frogs, which is another dark and dirty track about friendship and loss. It's a 7.5-minute sleeper from their 1995 album simply titled Alice in Chains. Album with the three-legged dog on the cover, you know what I'm talking about? It wasn't on my radar as much. I was more obsessed with the first few albums and not so much the later ones, but I've had a chance to go back and really dig deep into these, and they are pretty special. So the self-titled album in 95, Alice in Chains, would be the last album that Layne Staley would record his vocals on. Layne died of what was recorded as an overdose on a speedball on April 5th, 2002. A speedball is a combination of heroin and cocaine. His body had been decomposing for 2 weeks before it was found on April 19th, 2002. That day began with Layne's manager and accountant connecting to discuss his whereabouts. It was, from what I read, it was reported that Layne hadn't withdrawn any money from his bank account in over 2 weeks, which they both found kind of unusual. And the two contacted Layne's mother soon after, and like a worried mom, you know, she obviously called 911. So then it turns out that Layne's mother and father, who were divorced at the time, went with the Seattle police to Layne's home where his body was discovered. And again, like I said, it had been partially decomposed. He'd been sitting on the couch for 2 weeks. 2 weeks, man. It was so bad that medical examiners had to identify his body through dental records. April 5th was determined as the official date of death based on the professional medical examination. And strangely, that was the same day Kurt Cobain died, 8 years earlier in 1994. Two music moguls ahead of their time, from the same city, during the same era, still early in their careers, with so much more to accomplish, were both gone. As I sit talking about this with you today, we've added yet another person to that list. Chris Cornell, the lead singer from Soundgarden, was found dead in his Detroit, Michigan hotel on May 18th, 2017. Of the Big Four lead singers of the Big Four Seattle bands, only Eddie Vedder is still with us, thank God. Yeah, here comes the rooster.
No, he ain't gonna die.
could consider Alice in Chains' Unplugged album as a greatest hits for them, with a few deep tracks sprinkled in there. Oh yeah, and it's all live. Listen to this one on your headphones as the production is superb. Throughout every Alice in Chains album, you can hear examples of blatant and even passive references to drug use. For the most part, Lane did not hide his addiction. It's even more important, I think, to pay attention to this today as our country and really our planet is suffering from mental health issues. I think we all know someone who's struggling. And although Lane Staley's friends did what they could, Lane's illness was deep. And I think the jury's out if he could have ever recovered. As I stood atop the Space Needle looking over Seattle, I thought a lot about Lane that day. Mostly, I was so grateful to have experienced the music of Alice in Chains and the Seattle sound that came out of the 1990s. And despite personal taste, I encourage everyone to find a greater decade for music. Like I said earlier, maybe the music of the late 60s and the 1970s, I'm talking the entire 1970s, are an exception. But like the music culture of Seattle, the 1990s consistently pushed out groundbreaking, heartbreaking, painstakingly dirty and beautiful music. From hip-hop to rap, rock to metal, new age to grunge. We may never see a time like this again. I really hope I'm wrong, but let's point to the evidence today, okay? So pick up a copy of this album, Alice in Chains, MTV Unplugged. Listen to it on your sound system, and if you weren't alive to remember, take a trip back in time and feel the dirt of a genre that changed the entire direction of music forever. Thanks again for listening to the AlbumReview.net podcast. I hope you enjoyed this review of Alice in Chains' MTV Unplugged album. And remember, if you're interested in any of the albums I've discussed in this episode or previous episodes, go to AlbumReview.net and pick up a copy of your own. Listen to all my podcast album reviews at AlbumReview.net by clicking on the podcast tab. They can also be heard wherever podcasts are available. Please follow the show on your preferred platform so you can get regular updates on new episodes. Also, if you guys would be so kind as to pop a quick review or rate the podcast, that helps move the needle and get the word out there. I do also want to hear from you guys, so please email me your feedback, album review requests, and any questions you might have to gpotters@albumreview.net. That's gpotters. @albumreview.net. Stay tuned for updates on Instagram and Facebook. You can find me @albumreview.net. Join the mailing list, which is on the homepage of my website, or just keep refreshing your podcast feed. Just read and listen. Thanks again, guys. Keep listening, keep reading, and keep learning. Now I gotta go. Bye.
Take a trip down by the highway. Take a trip down by the highway. Take a trip down by the highway. Take a trip down.